A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. When Jesus had cast out a devil, some of the people said, "'Tis through Beelzebul, the prince of devils, that he casts out devils." Others asked him as a test for a sign from heaven. But knowing what they were thinking, he said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is heading for ruin. A household divided against itself collapses. So too with Satan. If he is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? As you assert that it is through Beelzebul that they cast out devils. If it is through Beelzebul that they cast out devils, for whom do your own experts cast them out? Let them be your judges then. If it is through the finger of God that they cast out devils, then know that the kingdom of God has overtaken you. So long as a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are undisturbed. When someone stronger than these attacks and defeats him, the stronger man takes away all the weapons he relied on, shares out his spoil. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man and wanders through waterless country looking for a place to rest and not finding one, it says, I'll go back to the home I came from. On arrival, finding it swept and tidy, it then goes off and brings seven other spirits more wicked than itself, and they go in and set up house there. But the man ends up by being worse than he was before. The Gospel of the Lord. Having one of the untidiest rooms in our province, possibly in the Dominican Order, it's nice to hear being swept and tidy as a description, being qualified by Christ is in some way a bad thing. Not always a good thing to be thoroughly swept and tidied. The man himself makes himself vulnerable. Obviously it's a metaphor, but it's a puzzling metaphor. Not quite clear how it fits in with the rest of the larger passage. It's about devils. Devils are real. It's also about something else. It's about how we protect ourselves, or think we protect ourselves against evil. I think the clue is in the larger metaphor. An unclean spirit goes out of a man that wanders through waterless country, land without water. Now, spirits do not need water, but the waterless country is a place without people. People need water. That's why the spirit can find no place there. The spirit dwells in human beings, in their life. That's the purpose of the unclean spirit. An unclean spirit comes back to the place which is swept and tidy, the person who's swept and tidy. There's a metaphor of a house there, but also the idea of a house you can enter, which fits with the larger picture. The strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, but someone stronger than him attacks and defeats him. He comes into the palace. It's a clear reference to the story of Nebuchadnezzar, the finger of God that wrote on the wall during his feast. Nebuchadnezzar, who is a king in the book of Daniel, is actually powerless against God. By the same token, powerless against evil. There's a great, possibly the greatest book about World War I, a book, great book written by Ford Madox Ford, recently televised in a BBC production, The Parade's End, Tetralogy as you call it. And that, to me, is a very good example of what Christ means by the place which is swept and tidy. Point of fact, the book begins with the two major characters, two men in a train. They are prosperous, they are middle class, they are part of a well-ordered society. And the train is gleaming and perfect. We're told if anything went wrong with the train, they would complain immediately. The train must run perfectly, because that's what they expect. It's an image of a very tidy, organized society, which is about to explode. And it explodes not just in terms of war, but in terms of personalities. The book itself talks of the rather chaotic life of the two men. One prospers, the other doesn't, but both together are swept up in chaos, both in their personal life and also in the political life of the war. I think 1914 is a good example of what Christ is thinking of here, speaking of. tidy, polished, careful society, which actually was coming apart at the seams. Everything is ordered. The unclean spirits are really disorder spirits themselves. That's what unclean means in the old law of Israel. The law attempted to impose order by symbols. Unclean spirits are the spirits that are in the wrong place who disorder things. That's why they want to come to the clean, tidy place. Not because they're looking for somewhere clean and tidy for themselves, but because they are themselves spirits of disorder and destruction. And the place which is clean and tidy, the human being or the society or the human life, often is only apparently ordered. It's like an intricate house made up of parts carefully constructed, perhaps wooden parts constructed by a carpenter, but all actually joined together. Pushed in the right way, it all comes apart. Again and again in human history we see this. We see societies like Europe in 1914 that appear to be orderly, appear to be safe, appear to be fixed, appear to be living a pattern of life that would repeat itself without any distress or discomfort indefinitely. And it comes apart because it really isn't. And the reason for that is we create ways of limiting the evil of human life. We create systems. The systems don't work, not for long. World War II ended with apparent peace, but it's very hard to say whether there would have been peace if there hadn't been for the development of nuclear weapons, of the escalation of war to the extent where war became untenable. Yet such is the diversity of human beings that although locked in this great stasis, this fear where we couldn't fight another war, we still found ways of fighting wars in small, obscure countries. Korea, Vietnam, other places. We could sneak out the back and have small wars. Now that big wars weren't tenable, it wasn't really peace, just fear. To this day we are skulking behind our immense weapons of destruction, mass destruction. After a while we forget, we think we're at peace because we're peaceful people. We forget how much of it is fear, how easily it can come apart again. Another way society can come apart, in other ways it can fall apart. Systems of justice, systems of control, bribery, carrots and sticks, police, ways of making money quickly, easily, apparently, then it breaks down. 2008, it broke down with a vengeance. And that's why Christ is saying that the real order is somewhat greater than that. Kingdom divided itself cannot stand. And deep down, our kingdoms are divided against themselves, our societies. Don't they appear to be ordered? Because forces, conflict, are locked. It's like two people pushing against each other. It might seem like they're not moving, but they're actually in a very slow motion sort of violence. The one falters, the other will push the other one over. Then the fight begins again. War, destruction, injustice, revolution, chaos, can come any time. It comes most powerfully, most destructively. It comes when we appear to have overcome all solutions. I remember shuddering, almost literally, I felt almost a shiver when I saw the book, The End of History. I didn't read it, but this blandness, this certainty that somehow we transcended all the problems, we'd solved everything, we now had a system of life that didn't need to change. It just seemed full of pride, it just seemed to be almost godless to me. And of course, history's begun again very soon. Didn't take long for cracks in the dam to appear, cracks in the apparent solidity of our society. It was dangerous to be complacent. And it's safer to believe that something else must invade our life. Not the evil spirits, the unclean spirits, but God himself. because he's a strong man who enters into the palace. He doesn't come to destroy, he doesn't come to shake our lives, he comes to make us strong. But strong and able to face the buffets of life. Because so many of the images of the church are like that. The house with the wind and sand beat against it, but its foundations are strong. Or the boat in the sea where the apostles panicked and cried out to Christ. And also the image of the Spirit itself, which in the Old Testament is often the image of destruction. The Spirit is powerful, but if the Spirit snatches us up, the Spirit protects us. We live by God. We live by God's power. And we trust in that alone. And that's why we can be too tidy, too complacent, too willing to trust our own powers and our own systems. We can't trust anything or anybody, really. Not even ourselves. We can't trust God.